Take your Bibles, Luke chapter number 17. Praise the Lord, when we did the bookshelf, I got to use a power tool. It said not to, but I found a way to do it. Had some more space there. Luke chapter number 17, we'll read verse number 12, and we'll read all the way down to verse number 19. It says, and he entered into a certain village, Luke chapter 17, verse number 12, and it says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and lifted up their voices, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for just the different things we can learn from Scripture every single week, Lord. We can come to church 3 times a week and still not learn enough. And I pray that we can learn some stuff from these lepers and some things that I know, that some truths that every one of us suffer with. And I know that we can gain some help from it. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, tonight, I want to preach a message simply entitled, Why the Lepers Didn't Say Thank You. Why the Lepers Didn't Say Thank You. There was 10 of them, and only one came back and said thank you. There's a major lack of gratitude in our society as America. In the world, but we're in America, so I'll talk about America. There's a lack of it. Once a nation forgets to be thankful, it turns and becomes greedy. And that's the America that we're living in today. Politicians, the only time they're relying is when their mouth is open. Amen. They're just, everybody in America, in the world, is just always out trying to shaft somebody else and get something and do something dishonest. And no one ever wants to say thank you. Everyone wants to be greedy. Everyone feels like they deserve everything. And that's become our society. Young people growing up today and never say thank you. They're never grateful for anything given to them. They always want more. I had a talk with my kids the other day about some things with that. About, you know, mom and dad are doing a lot for you, but every time we do something for you, you keep still wanting more. It's okay to be satisfied with what you have. You don't always have to have something more. I mean, we'll have ice cream, and then 10 minutes later, I'll be eating, like, you know, a popsicle or something. Can I have a popsicle? Like, you just had ice cream. You already had something. You were already blessed with something. Be thankful for it. You don't need more, amen? But as Americans, we want more and more and more and more, and we're never thankful for what God provides for us. We're never thankful for it. When my wife cooks for me, there's 2 words I got to say to her. Thank you. And when I cook for her, which is not as often, but when I cook for her, she says thank you to me. If we don't ever do that in our marriage with each other, when we do stuff for each other, we're going to have some problems in our marriage, right? You're going to have some problems in your marriage, and if you can't learn to say 2 simple words, thank you. When our kids, when we do something for our kids, we want them to say what? We want them to say thank you. I try to teach my kids all the time, anytime someone gives them anything or we do something for them, say thank you. Because if we don't train them, it's not a natural thing just to say thank you. It's something that's got to be instilled into our kids. And if we don't show thankfulness as adults, our kids are not going to show thankfulness as children. They're going to grow up and become an unthankful generation. I read about General Patton. He was a pretty rough man. Not someone I would say to follow after, maybe as a Christian. But there was something about him that I really came to respect. And After he was retired, many of the men that would come back from World War II suffered with different things, with, you know, medical issues or paranoia or things in their brain, just many of the things that war do to you, and they would struggle with that. He felt like the government wasn't taking good enough care of these veterans that would come back, and he spent his own money and took care of all of them, every single one of them from World War II that had any type of problems. He took care of them. He had camps for them, medical camps and things that helped provide all of their needs and take care of them. For 35 years, out of his own pocket, he did that for them. He said after 35 years, he said one man ever found him and told him thank you. Only one man. 35 years, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. That was back then. Imagine where we're at today. I believe it was New York Times, or one of the newspapers in New York, did a thing where it was Christmas time. They decided they wanted to be Santa Claus, and they wanted to provide the gifts for a bunch of kids. And so they had all these kids write in their request for Santa Claus. I don't encourage Santa Claus, right? But this is an illustration. They had all these kids sending in these requests for Santa Claus and what they wanted for Christmas that year. All these kids sending all these requests. And so this newspaper decided they were going to fulfill all of those orders. And they were going to get these kids all of these gifts for Christmas. And they were kids of kind of poor neighborhoods and things like that. They weren't wealthier kids. And it was for a community that they decided to help out. There were thousands of kids they did this for. And the newspaper said after Christmas, they waited a few months, and there was only one kid that wrote a letter back to them telling them, thank you for the gift. But that's America. That's America. And as parents, we've got to take responsibility for our children. We've got to take responsibility. The way we take responsibility is by examining ourselves. These lepers, I believe there's several things that we can learn from them. Some things that I believe that if we're not careful, we'll fall into the same trap that these nine lepers fell into. These same lepers that didn't show thankfulness. When I see this text, I see 10 men that were isolated. They were lepers. I mean, they were lepers. Their body, it was gross, and it stunk, and it was rotting from the inside out. Nobody wanted to be around them. They had no job, no life, nothing at all. Everything was stripped away from them. Pretty much about the worst thing that could happen to you. It was all taken away. Family, friends, life, enjoyment, entertainment, everything was taken away from them. And in return, they have this disease that's eating them alive and in pain every single day. I can imagine them looking over the walls and seeing people have fun. Seeing the kids run around and wondering, are those my kids? Who are they with? Who are they having fun with? Well, I sit here and rot and have hardly anything, and I'm in pain every single day. And they suffered, and they went through that and had to watch everybody else enjoy their time, knowing that their time was ending. And as they were dying, they were going to suffer along the way. And then comes this man named Jesus and heals them of this leprosy, all 10 of them, because they asked, and only one returns to say thank you. I don't know how that's even possible, but it is. And tonight we're going to look at a few things, I believe. I believe, number one, it could have been because of the signs of the times. Why did they not say thank you? Well, you'll see that this story here in this chapter was not just thrown in here. The whole rest of the chapter is donated to the signs of the times. And that's showing us that in the last days, people will become ungrateful. We're in that today. People are becoming more and more ungrateful. They're unthankful. We've been talking about it already in the first few minutes of the message. We're becoming ungrateful, even as Christians. We can't just look out the world and say, yes, they're ungrateful. Boy, these people out there, that they don't go to church. They're ungrateful. No, we got to examine ourselves. We can't compare ourselves to the world, okay? We compare ourselves to Christ, and we're supposed to be more like Christ, amen? We're supposed to be more like Him, and so we compare ourselves to how is He. How far are we getting away from God when it comes to our thankfulness and our unholiness? In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul said in the last days men will become unthankful and unholy. It is like in the days of Noah. You remember in the days of Noah when I don't believe anybody was saying thank you then to the Lord. Nobody was looking up to the Lord in Noah's day. Nobody was really looking up to the Lord in Lot's day and many of the men in the Bible. And you look at all these different passages of Scripture, the Bible says, when we see these things come to pass, that we should just look up because our redemption draweth nigh. We should look up and say, Lord, help us. We're living in a world that's ungrateful. What can we do to better ourselves? What can we do to be more thankful? How can we help our children? How can we instill this into our children? I believe it could have been because of the signs of the times. I believe, secondly, it could have been because they were spoiled by their parents. They were given everything they wanted growing up. I believe maybe some of you in here, like me, didn't have much growing up. I remember my parents went into the ministry. They didn't have much money. We were living in a small house. I remember that house having Lots of cockroaches all the time, pulling out a pan. And boy, they're being cockroaches. How many of you have ever dealt with cockroaches before? They're a blessing, amen? Just love cockroaches. I do love that sound, though, when you crunch them, amen? That's a great sound. But I remember growing up, some of the women were like, but I remember growing up not having much. And I remember going through a time where we didn't have lunches at school. My parents didn't have a lunch to send to us. My mom would just maybe pick us up, or she'd go to McDonald's and grab a couple cheeseburgers. She didn't have all the snacks and the lunch pail on. There was a good period of time where we just didn't have the money to have snacks, and we just were able to go get some cheeseburgers back when they were like 20 cents or however much they were back then. And I remember going through a time in my life, and I was trying to teach one of my daughters the other day when she went to school, just her whole life was upside down because she didn't have a lunch pail for school. I was trying to teach, hey, you have no idea what it was like when I was a kid. You have no idea. I went every day to school for a few years not having a lunch, but God provided for us. During that time, a lady in the church, she was a very wealthy lady, and her kids also went to the school. She decided that she was the wealthiest lady in the church, I should say, and her kids always had the best lunches. I remember thinking Go-Gurts were like a rich kid, you know, a rich kid dessert, or the string cheese, man, that's only the rich kids get that stuff. Or, man, the pizzas, those are only the rich kids get those kind of things. And I remember her deciding she wanted to, I think it was for about a year and a half, she decided she was going to provide all of our hot lunch. She told my parents, we're going to provide all your kids' lunches for you. We'll pack with all the snacks. And boy, we came to school, and man, her kids would bring this bag full of all these desserts and snacks and the hot lunch. And I thought, this is unbelievable. Like, what in the world? My taste buds have never experienced this during school hours, you know? And I remember God providing that for us. But I remember my parents teaching us, be thankful, okay? Be thankful. Don't walk around the school, you know, hey, we got this snack, we got this food, we got this, because God provided that for you. We didn't have that. Without God, we wouldn't have that here today. So be thankful to God, but also be thankful for the person that God sent our way to help us with that. Be thankful. Young people need to see us, older generation. I say us, older generation. I'm getting older, right? 34 years old now. But the older generation, they need to see us be thankful. Because when they see us do things, they want to do the exact same. Our kids mimic what we do, amen? Good. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not good, right? Sometimes it's like, well, Dad didn't mean to do that. Don't do that, right? That was a bad habit of mine, all right? But it's a blessing when we do something good and they want to do the same also. When we follow and we live in that same example. I remember as a young man getting to see a lady in our church her name is Mrs. Faye. And Mrs. Faye is, I mean, she is one of the most thoughtful, caring people you could think of. She doesn't miss a birthday in the entire church. And she's a very wealthy lady. And she would write a birthday card for every single person in the church. And if I'm not mistaken, almost every one of them, if you're an adult, you get $50 in there. And if you're a kid, you get $20. I mean, everybody. She would never miss it. And it was like clockwork. I mean, if your birthday was after Sunday, then you would get the card on Sunday. And I just used to think, man, I don't want to be like Mrs. Faye someday when I grow up. She is the most giving person. God's blessed her, and then in return, she blesses back. We used to do lots of fundraising, and where we'd go door to door and knock, and we'd have different fundraisers and stuff that we would do. And I was always the one driving the van, and so I'd pick the neighborhoods where we'd go. Well, every now and then, we had to stop by Mrs. Faye's house because I knew Mrs. Faye was going to always bless. She could not say no to those kids if they came by her door. And so I'd always pick the kid that was struggling, the kid that just was having the worst luck out there. Everybody was saying no, and I tried to encourage him, and I'd say, I remember some kids coming up to me, and they didn't know what neighborhood Miss Faye lived in, but I knew what neighborhood she lived in. And so I'd set it up. I'd set it up for them, and I'd tell them, I say, you know, if you just keep praying, you stick at it, if you have a good attitude, God's going to bless you more than you could know. I just know. How do you know? I just know. I'm telling you. I know how God works. And I remember going to this neighborhood. This happened many times, but just taking the kid that is having the worst attitude, not worst attitude, but just, you know, like, you know, ready to quit because everyone's just saying no to them, and bringing them over to Mrs. Faye's neighborhood, dropping them off. And Miss Faye could never tell a kid no, and always being a blessing. She'd write a $100, $200 check every time to that kid, and now, what? And they get in the van. I tried to act like I didn't even know she lived there. Like, Miss Faye lives over here. And she gave me a $100 check. Or she gave me a $200 check. I'm like, what? Let's go. Don't forget, God did that for you. Amen. It's amazing when our attitude changes because, boy, every time that would happen to a kid, and they'd get that $100 check or however much she made for them, boy, the rest of their night would just go amazing because all of a sudden their face would change. They would smile. They were grateful for what they got, and it just changed their whole spirit. Boy, they were getting money door after door. God was blessing them because they just changed their appearance. They changed their attitude. I believe that if we as parents don't have a good attitude in front of our kids, or we don't show a thankful spirit in front of them, it's going to be instilled into them. And the cycle is never going to change, and they're going to be the same way when they become adults. And all we're doing is we're going to make society worse. We're going to make our community worse. We're not going to help anything. We're not going to help our church. It's not going to better our church if we're not thankful. I believe number three, a spiritual problem. Probably the reason why they weren't thankful was because they had a spiritual problem. Jesus never told the others their faith made them whole, except for the one that came back. The others just wanted to be healed, but they never got saved. They wanted blessed, but they didn't get born again. They wanted everything that God could do for them. And most of us, if we're not careful, we always run to God when we need something, right? We run to God when we want something or we need something. We get on our knees. God, help! Help! I need help! Please help us with this. Someone's so sick, or this is happening, or help me with my job. Help us to pay mortgage this month. Lord, help! And we run to God, and we only want His help during those times. And when we got what we needed from God, we put them on a shelf until we're ready to give back to Him. Almost like putting away a spare tire. Is that how we treat God? I hope tonight that it's not how you treat God. But I know that there's a lot of Christians that's how they treat God. And they're not thankful for what He's doing for them. It's just get what I need and then never return to say thank you. Just get what I need, put God away. Get what I need, put God away. And God's sitting there saying, hey, do you remember what I did for you? I just blessed you with that. Boy, I just gave you that. Just gave you that house. I gave you that car. I gave you another child. Did you bother to stop and say thank you? The spiritual problem. I believe that if you think that God is just a God to run to for what He does for you, then you've got a warped concept of God. God loves you, cares about you, and He's more than just a God who can provide a miracle every now and then. God's there for you every single day. God will help you all along the way. There's so many things that God will do for us if we just get close to Him and we don't just ask Him for stuff all the time. Never be jealous of what God's doing for someone else. You see, God's going to do something for someone else that He's probably not going to do for you. He's going to do things for other people. If we're not careful, hey, why do they got that? How come I don't have that? Well, why is God blessing them with that? Why is He not blessed? And we can look at others and point and get and covet and get very jealous and upset at God because of what He's doing for other people in their life. If what God is, what He has for you, He has for you, amen? What He has for you, He has for you. He's not going to give your mail to somebody else, all right? He's not going to give it to somebody else. He's going to give it to you. And as a matter of fact, if He's blessing you, your neighbor, that means He's in the neighborhood, amen? You just might be next. You just never know. You might be next, all right? He might be blessing you next, but He's waiting to see how you respond. God's always testing us, right, as Christians. He's always testing us to see how we're going to handle situations. And when we fail those tests, the blessings don't follow. But when we pass the test, blessings always follow. See, God is a God of promises, and He keeps those promises, and He never fails on those promises. Amen. A spiritual problem. I believe it's as Christians that if we're not careful when we come to church, well, we can come to church, and because we've had a rough week, we'll come to church, and the song leader will get up and lead the singing, and we won't sing because, man, we're having a rough week. We're going through a tough time. If you want to get through a tough time, the best way to do that is to sing. Amen. Sing your way through that tough time. We grew up all my life. My dad was going through health problems from the time I was about 7 or 8 years old up until now. He has always dealt with serious, has a Lyme's disease and many other diseases that have added on to it ever since then, but Lyme's disease is kind of the main one. And he struggled with his health all along the way. And I remember when I was a kid, he'd wake up and his arms would all be curled up and he'd be in a fetal position, just couldn't move. And his arms would be locked in place, like you could not break them apart. And my mom would have to sit there and massage his hands and his legs and his arms, and just to get him to kind of release and his body to open up. And it would take hours. And I remember him for many years not being able to walk and being in a wheelchair. And my dad grew up in Cody, Wyoming, where, man, you hunt and you fish and you do all these outdoor things and you ride horses. And boy, he worked at the rodeo and all these things. But as a boy growing up, those were things that we always talked about, but he was never able to do those things with us. Those things that he wanted to do with us. And as a young boy, boy, I could get pretty upset at that. I could get pretty upset at God that he took that away from me. But I'm thankful that God gave my dad the ability to sing and the ability to write music, because God used that more than anything in my life to draw me closer to him and to help me get through the tough times. We would so many times get together as a family. I mean, so many times. We would just get together. We call it Bible time in our home, where we just get together and we just sing and sing and sing and sing. Boy, when you're singing God's music, and you're singing those words, and you're thinking about those words, then you're harmonizing to those words, boy, you can't get upset at him. You can't get upset at him. I don't know if you do, something's really, 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 really wrong with you, because I can't get upset at God. When I'm going through a tough time and I'm singing my way through it, boy, God just calms me down. God starts to remind me of all the things that he's been doing in my life and encourages me through music. If you're going through a tough time, I encourage you to just sing. Have a song during the week to sing at work or in your head. And don't get a bad song stuck in your head. If you're like me, I have a bad habit. Something comes in, it just got to come out every time. I go into a store and a bad song gets in, and man, it accidentally comes out. Whoa! Don't sing that song, all right? That was a bad song, all right? And keep the good songs in you, right? Y'all would be looking at me like, really, you do that? It is a bad habit, okay? It's a very bad habit. I work on it on a daily basis. But no, it's just those catchy tunes, sometimes they get in you. Don't look at me like you don't do it too. I know you do. Number four tonight, shy of worship. Could have been because they were shy of worship. Go to verse number 18. It says, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Boy, I don't know about you, but if it was my child that got healed of leprosy, I don't care if they're an adult, I don't care how old they are, if I'm still alive and God healed my child of leprosy, I would do whatever it takes to go and find Jesus, this man that just healed my son, healed my daughter of leprosy. But they didn't do it. You don't have one report in here of anywhere that the parent ever came and glorified God or thanked him at all. And that goes back to because of the way they were raised. Were they raised to be shy in their worship? These young people, were their parents shy at church? Did their parents maybe skip church because they were shy to come to church and were worried about having to talk to people? Were they shy to say amen when Pastor Ross is preaching? Were they shy to agree with him? Were they shy to use an altar? Were they shy to sing in church and sing out loud, or to sing up here behind the pulpit? Were they shy of their worship? Because for some reason, 9 of the 10 didn't come back to tell God thank you for this incredible miracle, the greatest thing that ever happened to them in their life. There wasn't anything else in their life up to that point that was better than what happened. Everything that was taken away was restored to them. God blessed them, and they forgot to go back and thank him. They forgot to go do something pretty important. What is God doing for you right now? We can overlook the small things. It's pretty easy to say thank you for some big things, but it's very hard sometimes to remember to say thank you for all the small stuff that God's doing for your family. Amen. That God's doing for you as an individual. He's always providing for us. Always. And if you're like us, and I know you are, every month there's stuff that comes up financially, things that come up. How are we going to make it? How are we going to get past this? How are we going to pay that bill? Just trust God. Just trust God. That doesn't mean, well, I'm going to go spend all the money and then just trust God. No, be wise, all right? Ask for wisdom when spending your money, amen? Create a budget for yourself. Be wise, but trust God. Don't let those things consume you. Come to church, glorify him, worship him at church. Be thankful for God, who God is in your life. When Pastor Ross is preaching, man, praise the Lord, say amen, shout hallelujah, wave a hanky, however you want to do it, all right? But just get into it. Your faith should tell pastor that, man, they're enjoying this preaching. Or, man, this is good stuff. This is hitting home for them. This is helping them. Be a part of church. Don't be shy of it. Stand up for Jesus. He's the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life. And lastly tonight, could it be they didn't say thank you because they were slaves to their past? They were slaves to their past. Could it be they lived this way for so long that they could not accept the fact that they had been cleansed from all their corruption? They were so busy looking at their past rags and scars and the fact that they were outcasts that they were literally uncomfortable trusting in Jesus. Reliving your past offers no future. All of us have a past. Maybe some worse than others. But you see, God said he put those in the sea. He forgot about them, okay? He put them in the deepest sea, forgot all about them. I know us as humans that we have a harder time forgetting those things. But I'm asking you tonight, and if there's something that you're struggling with, your future is going to be hindered if you keep dwelling on those things, those mistakes that you made. You're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. I thank God that he's a God of a second chance. Amen. If he wasn't a God of a second chance, we wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be where we are if he wasn't a God of a second chance. See, when you make mistakes, there's someone who likes to remind you of that. His name is the devil. All right. He loves to bring it up. When you think about it, he's going to, yes, you're no good. You can't do that. You're a failure. Don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember that thing you said? Don't you remember that mistake you made? He's going to remind you of all of it on a daily basis. You've got to combat that with God's help. You've got to combat that by getting in your scripture on a daily basis. That's why it's so important to be in your Bible in the morning. That's why it's so important to start off the day getting on your knees, asking God, say, Lord, help me today. Help me. I know the devil's going to be after me. You coming here to church tonight is not what the devil wanted for you today. You're already beating him up today by coming to church. But see, we don't come to church on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It's only 2 days a week. And Wednesday is at the end of the day. Somehow you've got to defeat Satan. You can't defeat him on your own. You need God's help. And if you don't get God's help, you're going to think of your mistakes because that's what the devil's going to remind you of. And boy, he's going to bring up some good stuff. Some things that you thought you forgot about. But he's going to bring them up and remind you. When the devil comes to remind you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. My dad used to always say that. When the devil comes to remind you of your past, remind him of his future. I know what the end of the story is. Amen. We get to go to heaven. The devil doesn't. He never gets that. So we get way more than he ever gets. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. Don't dwell upon your past. We're not here tonight because we are worthy. There's not one person here in the room that is in church because you're worthy. We're here tonight because he's worthy. I said we're here tonight because he is worthy. We're here tonight because we want to glorify God. We want to honor him. We want to obey him. We want to do whatever it takes to become a better Christian, to be more like Christ. We're here tonight because he is worthy. I was out soul winning one day, and I came across a man and got to talking to him, and we were talking about, do you know for sure you're going today, or do you know for sure you're going when you die? And the man said, he said, yes, he said he knew he was going to heaven, and he gave us his answer. And he said, you know, I work for a funeral home, and he said, I'm an embalmer, I believe he was. And he said, really? So we kind of got to talking about his job at the funeral home there, and he said, you know, they've made it a law here in California now. You can't bury any valuables with somebody who's passed away, and you can't put anything in there. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, you can't put a watch or a necklace or anything of value. He said, no, you can't. I said, why is that? He said, well, because he said a lot of times, and it's happened numerous amounts of times where people that are part of the family that come to the funeral that are on drugs or alcohol or something like that, or have no money, they are so low that they will come back to the grave and dig it up and take those valuables out so they can sell them. I said, I have never heard of that in my life. He said, oh yeah. He said, it happens all the time. He said, people get so messed up in their life that that's what they will do. I thought to myself, that's got to be one of the lowest things you can do, to dig up something that is dead and try to glory in that. Try to get happiness out of that. But you see, that's what we do. Is we want to dig up our past We want to dig up the things, or we want to dig up the past of a friend, or dig up the past of our spouse. We want to bring back up the things that God already forgave, that we should have already have moved on from. And the devil will cheer us on and say, yeah, bring it up, bring it up. That's what you should be thinking about, because that's going to discourage you. We don't want you going to church. We don't want you living for the Lord. You shouldn't get on that bus anymore. You shouldn't be teaching that class anymore. You're not worthy. None of us are worthy, amen? He is worthy. We just are blessed to be able to get to work for the Lord and be able to be used of Him on a daily basis. It's an honor to be able to get to work for Him. What God has declared dead is not ours to bring back. God has told you to leave behind. Leave it behind. God's told you to do something, then do it tonight. He's the best thing that's ever happened to us. We have so much to be thankful for. Just a simple message tonight. I'm being thankful. I love the song, I Have Been Blessed. Our family sing on one of our CDs. If you know the song, can we sing just the first verse and the chorus together? It goes, when He moves among us, all that He does, all of His mercy and all of His love. If the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter in summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. Sing it now. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I can count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. He's been so good to us, and we have been blessed. Remind yourself of that. Dear Father, thanks so much for your word. Thanks so much for the one man who came back and said thank you. What a testimony he is to us, Lord. I pray that us adults in this room could be a testament to our young people to show them how to be grateful for what you're doing for us in our lives. And I pray that you would help these young people that, boy, they should be thankful. When's the last time they told their parents thank you for the things that they're providing for them, the things that they're doing for them? Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be something that is known of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that they're an ungrateful church. I pray that in your eyes you'd see a church that is grateful for what you're doing for us and blessing us with this opportunity to be able to get to a come to a place to call church, get to come to a place that we get to serve at, to get to come to a church that has a Christian school that we get to put our kids in, Lord. And we have so much to be thankful for you. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for my wife. Thanks so much for our children. We have so many children in this church, Lord. I pray that you could use all of them, Lord. I pray that our young people would strive to get closer to you, get closer to your word, and to be grateful for the Sunday school class they get to come to on a Sunday morning, and to be grateful for church. In Jesus' name.